If anybody not following the Lord, ain't heard yet. You hear him, you want to follow him. Amen. It's a wonderful life. Hallelujah. Lord, good, isn't he? He sure is good. Thank God for his mercy. All the time. We first met Brother John through Brother Jesse Norris. We never forgot Brother Jesse, have we? It'd been probably 40 years ago. I think come to the tent, didn't you? Been about 40 years ago. Brother John been to Jamaica, Mexico. He's stayed in Jamaica, 5 years or 7, didn't he? Knows what it is to live over there with him. I said, you share me some more about what it was like over there. He talked to me about that yesterday. He said that about 50 years of mowing that behind as far as most of the world. Still mud huts and straw huts, dirt floors, very little that they have. But some of them got God. Hallelujah. That's where get back said, if I gain the whole world and lose your own soul, it won't profit you nothing. If you got God, you got everything. Hallelujah. We blessed and all in this life, in this country. So God may have to break the staff of bread to get this country back on the knees. We need to be ready. Amen. Yes. I'm going to ask Brother John to come share with us what's on his heart this morning. Come on, Brother John.
Thank you, Brother. Amen. All right. I feel like I've already been in church this morning. How about you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I memorized a song. It sounded like maybe a twin to the one that the brother sang over there. I don't want to try to sing it a cappella, but I will give you the words of it. It's the Jamaican's phrase and wording for the conquering Savior. That's an old English hymn. I don't have a book with that in it. But it says, far out on life's ocean, I drifted one day. The billows were high, and I soon lost my way. When out in the darkness, a voice called to me, come sail with a pilot that masters the sea. Amen. I looked up and there stood the Savior of men, his voice so gentle like that of a friend. He lifted me out and he whispered to me, you're safe with a pilot that masters the sea. Amen. Why should I doubt him? His promise is true. And from every storm and tornado, there's a haven for me. Y'all not ready to hear the last verse, are you? My vessel will soon reach that beautiful shore. And over the rough waters I'll travel no more. I'll meet with the millions. They'll all join with me in praise to the pilot that masters the sea. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thank God for his presence here this morning. Some of the places I've been going, I miss that. Put your mic on. I got it on. We may have to get it higher.
We don't need it here. We just want tape.
Yeah, it's on. All right. He's just checking me up. Can you hear all right back there? If you miss that song, you might have missed the best part of it. I'm reading a prayer of the Apostle Paul. I am not going to preach on the prayer of the Apostle Paul, just a thought in it. But we need everything that's in the prayer. He is saying here to the church at Ephesus, in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is for your glory. Now listen what it says. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wasn't as old as I am now. If I get down on my knees, I can. But I don't want to ask Brother Buford Williams and Brother Ike to come get me up. I have trouble getting up. I don't have trouble getting down. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named. I wish we could get that. That would get away with Baptists and away with Methodists and away with Pentecostals, away with Catholics. I know what some of them say. I remember one time when I was a pipe welder in England Shipyard before I got free. And I was eating my bologna sandwich and I asked this man about his faith. And I'm not going to tell you what it was. You can guess. I'll let you imagine that. But he said, I don't discuss my religion with nobody. I hope he doesn't. Amen. Religion doesn't save us.
Amen.
Yeah, that's narrow. I've already guessed what you are, Brother John. Well, I can tell you someone that I love and loves me more than I could ever love him. He said when Thomas asked him, you say you're going away. We don't know where you're going. How in the world could we know the way? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Uh-oh. Then he said something. And no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's narrow. Well, I can tell you better than that. He said it's a straight gate and it's a narrow way. Now, I'm not. I better get off that because I want y'all to get out of here about 12:30, 1 o'clock anyway. All right, now I'm reading on. He said that he would grant you, according to his riches of glory, to be strengthened in might by the Spirit in the inner man. I talked to God about that early this morning. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I talked to him about John, this John, about that this morning for me. Now, he says, now unto him that is able, I want you to get this now, to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, this is what I want to preach on this morning. God wants me to preach on this morning. He didn't wait till I got down here. I love this. I hate to go to a meeting of any kind and he doesn't give me something to preach. That's a mess. It's not God's fault. He will grace you with a message if he knows you're going to have a place to tell it. Amen. And so, let me read that again. He's abundantly, now he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and here's what I'm going to preach on, according to the power that worketh in us. And I have already prayed, and I know there's a formality for preachers. You ought to pray before you preach. I have. And then at your close, you ought to pray again. Well, thank you for being here, all of you. And if you're a stranger here, you're at the right place. I can tell you what, Calvary Baptist Church, as good and as wonderful as it is, can't save you. But they can tell you about a Savior. And the Holy Ghost. Now that bothers a lot of people. But I read out of the King James Bible and most of the time, it talks about the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
You know. And I was told one time the reason some denominations never pronounce the word Holy Ghost said if there's any black people there, they're afraid of ghosts. But it's strange they never go among the black people. I've been among the black people. And they knew I wasn't talking about a booger bear. They knew I was talking about God. Now, I want to quote a few verses. I have taken seriously. I had a pastor, and I remember what Brother Grafton said when I called him and told him that I had surrendered to preach. He said, "Son, I want to give you a word. Memorize all the scripture you can while you're young. When you get older, it will come hard." And then one of the first verses I memorized was this, 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, without Brother Billy and without Brother Buford and without Brother Ike and the brother over here, does anyone know what it says? "Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." And I've been a student of this book since April in 53. Yes, I was reading it in 1949. But I reckon I knew when a month after I got saved, God had something for me to do. But I didn't want to do it. I'm sorry. And some 3 years passed, and finally God won the wrestling match. I'm glad it did. I'm glad it did. I've never been sorry. I agree with the Jamaicans. Jesus took me and put me on the glory road. I'm so glad he did. Amen. Now, there's a verse of scripture, and I'm going to labor on it this morning, and then I'm going to read something out of this little book here. The verse of scripture I quoted in the prayer room a while ago, Philippians, first chapter, verse 6. "He that have begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." Now, do you want to know why I know that he started a work in me? That's the verse I'm going to labor on. In the second chapter, verse 13, I'm going to talk about the power that's in us. It is God that worketh in us to do His will and for His pleasure. Then it has a very difficult word in verse 14. I know that we'd need to get our dictionary and a Greek New Testament or something to find out what this word means. That's the way we act. I did say we, didn't I? Yeah. That's the way we act. Capital D-O. Does anybody know what that says? Now, I'm going to read that. That's too precious. I'm going to read that. Listen. "Do all things without murmuring and disputing that..." Listen. This is a morning paper. I don't know what, whoever got a Sunday morning paper, this is a morning paper for you. Listen. "That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God," there's a letter G by it, "children of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I have not wrought in vain and labored in the vain." Now, we want to preach and share with you in love. What is this power that worketh in us? God's able to do how much? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Should I read them that what I was wondering about? I don't write poetry. Sometimes I write prose. You didn't know I was that smart. Well, anyway. I wonder if God can. I just finished praying in this sorry coming. Well, he made a rooster fulfill prophecy. The third time that Simon Peter said, I don't know the man. And used a bad word. And that was the third time. And I've raised game roosters. I like them to eat. But that rooster get up in the morning, crow half a dozen times, you know, wake everybody up. But this one was pretty silent until Peter said what Jesus said. Before you, the rooster crow twice, you will deny me three times. Yeah. He made a fish the treasure to keep the tax money. And he told Peter to take a hook and go and drop it in there. And the first one that came up, look in his mouth and take the tax money and go pay our tax. I wonder if he could do a thing like that. He used a donkey to rebuke a fellow that was going in the wrong direction. Slammed his foot into the wall. And he warped him. He said, have I ever wanted to disobey you before? No. Yeah, in a man's voice. He was speaking his language. He said, if I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill thee. And God opened his eyes, and there was that angel. I mean, he had a sword. And he didn't bring it to play with. He was fixing a whittle on Balak. Amen. Last. There was a preacher that went on a vacation to Tarsus, or he started. But God had spoken to him before he left for this vacation. And he said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And I suppose if he's like us, you know, that's a plural pronoun too. He said, well, Lord, I know you didn't know it, but I've been saving my change and I was going to Tarsus for a few days of rest. Yeah. But you know what God did?
Yeah.
God sent a storm. And he cranked up a whale out there. Now, Jonah doesn't call it a whale, but a large fish. Matthew 12, if you read your Bible, Jesus called it a whale. Thank you very kindly. And what are we going to do? They cast lots. The lots fell on Jonah. What can we do? What are you? Who are you? Well, I'm a Hebrew. Oh, God. We got one of those people on here. And I fear God. Well, not very much, you know, at that time. And he said, what's the answer? Pick me up and throw me overboard. I'd rather drown than go to Nineveh. Amen. And I don't know why some of us won't obey God. I hope it's not that problem, at least. But I know church people. You heard what I said, didn't you? And some of them are Baptists. They would rather do anything and go anywhere than obey God. But I tell you what I've been praying for you, Lord. I've seen it happen. Visit us this morning. And let there not be a doubt in any man or any woman or any girl or boy what you're saying they ought to do. Visit us, Lord. Visit us. And I tell you what, they won't have to be but just one or two. Obey God. And before you can say, who did it? The Holy Ghost will be all over this chapel.
Yes.
You won't have to ask nobody or tell anybody where God is. Every one of us, Brother Billy, will know that God's in this place.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And so, Here we are. Here we are this morning. It is a crooked outfit. But let's talk about the power. I remember I was in a class. I won't go into any of that. But some preachers, all of them was preachers. It was a preacher's class. Some of them was having trouble getting rid of a cigarette. About that long, you know. Some of them were longer than that. But they couldn't kick it. One fellow told me he was a dope head and he quit marijuana cold turkey. Crack cocaine, he quit it cold turkey. But he said, before God as his witness, he like to never got off of those cigarettes. I want to report to you, I'm guilty. I used alcohol and I used tobacco. I could quit smoking and chew Brown Mule, or I could quit Brown Mule and go to smoking. But there came a time in April in 53. Sometime we ought to be careful what we say. Even imagine, God gets all of that. God knows our thoughts. And I kept saying, I could do anything I wanted to do. But I couldn't. But anyway, I made a mistake. I asked the church to pray for me. I was trying to get rid of my cigarettes. And I was welding pipe in the English shipyard, and you know what the boy that was welding on the other side of me, his name was? Brother Church. Yeah, he done got the victory. He done been set free. And I said, Brother Church, what you think about a Christian smoking? He said, I think he could be a better one if he didn't. Now, there's other, it might have been Vance Havner, I don't know. He said, smoking cigarettes wouldn't send you to hell, but it would get you to heaven a lot quicker than you wanted to go. Now, that's medical field there. Now, anyway, so I hadn't had one in 3 days, and I'm the man that can do anything, you know, that he wants to do. I had one little boy on that end of the trailer we was living in, and the other one on the other end. Both of them was crying, and mother's gone to the beauty shop. And I can't explain where my nerves were. They was at wrecking point. My blood pressure was way up. And I'd saved a pack of Camels in there. I went in there, got them. Struck me one of those Nickelback matches, you know, right there by the little gas stove. And the devil overstepped it. He said, "Ha! I thought you could quit." And then I came to my senses, brother, and I remember. I said, "By the grace of God, I put them in the garbage. Turn the water on. By the grace of God, I'll never be guilty. I've never been guilty." That was in 53. I dreamed one night. I was smoking a White Owl. What is it? White Owl cigar? Anybody know? Anyway, whatever it was. I'm not selling cigars, by the way. Anyway, I used to smoke one or two of those on payday, you know. Anyway, in my dream, I had a cigar. And a boy said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm just tasting this. I'm not." "You'll be back where you were." I woke up in the dream, thank God. I hadn't even been to a cigar store since. Amen. Now, here we come, though, according to this power that worketh in us. I was in that class, and the preachers were having trouble, and they wasn't even supposed to be assisting in their money to go to college if they had those habits. And the doctor that was teaching class, he said, "How about you? How about you? How about you?" I stuck up mine. But he wouldn't look at it. He always called me preacher for some reason. And finally he got to me, "Didn't you have your hand up?" I said, "Yes, sir." But I said, "I've changed my mind. I'm not going to try to give the answer. I want to ask you a question. Don't you think God could, through Christ, deliver us from all of these things that are contrary and not conducive to the Christian being a witness in this dark world?" I can see him now. He said, "Preacher, if..." I thought it was original, but it wasn't. I'm going to be honest with you, tell you the whole story. But he said, "Preacher, if God tells you to jump through a brick wall, it's your business to jump and his business to make a hole." Well, I found out later, reading a biography somewhere, that it was a black minister that went about saying, "God can do anything, God can do anything, God can do anything, God can do anything." People got tired of hearing it and they said, "Jasper, what if God tells you to jump through that brick wall?" He bowed his head. Yasser said, "It's my business to jump, but God's business to have the hole ready for me to go through." Now, I want to say to us this morning, God's not going to ask us to jump through a brick wall anytime soon. But God is speaking to us. And the pastor said a while ago, "My sheep hear my voice." And I said, "And they follow me." Now, here is the power and here's the promise. You will never tackle anything if God tells you to tackle it that it won't be accomplished.
Amen.
Now, I'm gonna have to share a few stories with you. Brother Ike, if you've already got it, well, anyway, I was a pastor of Lake Providence longer than I've ever pastored anywhere. They called me 3 times. I served 2 years, 2 years, and 2 years. I was in Macon, and Brother Billy was coming. You came to Macon, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. And did Gary came? Who else? It was 3 preachers there. Scott Popewood, I believe, came. Anyway, and I went to the post office, same address that y'all have, P.O. 315, DeKalb, Mississippi, 39328. This is it. And I picked up a letter. It's Friday. And, "Dear Brother John," I looked at heading, "from Billy Marie Payne. My mother has had a stroke, and she's been in the hospital at Delhi, Louisiana, 5 weeks. I hate that. That's sad. But she's now in Meridian on the 5th floor of Riley Hospital." I can tell you a number of stories just like it from Jamaica. But if I do, you'd be like I was. I'd always hear these preachers, "What happened over yonder somewhere?" I'm not. So I'm talking about in Meridian, Mississippi, 30 miles from my home. "Mother's been in there a week on the 5th floor, and there was a check in there for $50. Very impressive. I said to Joyce, both of us were worn out, it's Friday. And Saturday was already taken. And Sunday morning, Sunday school, preaching Sunday, training union in the evening, preaching, nursing home that particular Sunday. I said, "I'm afraid of tomorrow." She said, "Well," she said, "her husband was staying with his son there in Meridian. Why don't you call him?" And I don't know why. I guess it was his age. But he always called me boy. That wasn't too bad. And I called him and I said, "Brother Forbes, I got a letter from your daughter informing me that your wife has been in Delhi Hospital with a stroke 5 weeks and been in Meridian, Mississippi for a week. Would it be good medicine if I went today or bad medicine?" He said, "Boy, get over there." Well, now what are you going to do? We went. And I mean, we was dragging. Now, I want to tell you something. I've had this experience. I've been in Jamaica riding a donkey at 2 o'clock in the morning, coming from the light of the valley, and I was thinking. About 5 or 6 other men were riding their donkeys, coming out from a meeting. I've read about this story, but it's happening. Amen. And my little wife is over there by Rock River, and she is saved. Amen. All right, now, we went up the elevator. Thank God for elevators. Amen. You ever thank God for that? Thank God for seeing our doors. Now, we think we're smart, but I tell you, God had a seeing our gate before we ever thought of a seeing our door. But anyway, you get there, you don't have to push it, nothing. Go in. And so we got up to the 5th floor, went in. There the mother was. The stroke was in the right side. You know what I'm talking about? Healing. Now, I want to tell you the perfect truth. We need the hospitals. I've had Dr. Gill ask me that 1,000 times already. John, I talked to him about this, you know. John, what are the hospitals? What are the doctors for? I said, for people that have no faith. All right. Y'all don't have, you don't have a written down prayer list here, but every church I've been in of lately have a list that long, you know. And they're praying for people, Brother Billy's in the hospital, thank God. Right. And they're praying that somehow or another they get help. Yeah. I pray for them too. Now, anyway, but God Almighty says in Malachi 3:6, I'm going to get on your chapter, Brother Buford. It's in the 3rd chapter of Malachi. And I remember one time what God had me to preach when we were meeting in that tent 40 years ago. I was not preaching on money. I was not preaching on tithing. I was preaching on what God told me to preach. Yes. Prove me now, yeah, saith the Lord. Yeah. It's good now. Yeah. Yeah. But later on, the bottom may come out. And if we can't go on with God now while the road is smooth, forget about it. Amen. And so I walked in. I picked up her left hand. I'd been a pastor for 6 years. I picked up her hand. It wasn't paralyzed. I kissed it. My wife leaned over and kissed her. And then immediately, not after a while, immediately, she took that left arm and she's trying to get this sheet off of this paralyzed arm. I mean, she is struggling and the Word of God is pouring out of her. I mean, it was pouring out. I could not... you think I know the Bible. That woman was full of the Word of God.
Amen.
She walked with God. How come she have a stroke? I don't know. I don't really know all about Job. But I know the right part. He said, when God gets through, I'm going to come forth as gold.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want to tell you fellows that are calling me a hypocrite, my record is on high and my witness is in heaven.
Yes.
And God showed up in a whirlwind,
yeah,
and asked him about 100 questions. Job said, I've said things I didn't know anything about. And I repent and dust and ashes. I've heard of thee, but now mine eyes see thee, and I repent in dust and ashes. Are you ready for it? You know what? In the 5th chapter of James, it tells us to remember him. And his end. And God told those people that had been calling Job a hypocrite, get over there and ask Job to pray for me, for you. And while Job prayed for his friend, God healed him. And God gave him twice as much of everything that he had except his children. He gave him those 10 children back. Didn't say a word in the world about his wife. That's the truth. I assume that he kept the same wife. You can figure that one out. But he lived 140 years and saw his son's son and his son's sons and his son's sons. And he died. And I know God don't mind that. But you know what I wrote in my Bible? And the devil didn't kill him. Hallelujah! I want to tell you something. Listen. Let me give you one of the troublesome verbs. I don't want to get in Greek. Sit, sat, sat. What's the other one? Set, set, set. S-E-T. And if we are a child of God and S-E-T set to do the will of God, there's nothing the devil can do to keep us from it.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God.
We can do it. Amen. Now, back to this. Well, she couldn't get the sheet off. Her daughter was there from Morgan City. I said, young lady, lean over and see what your mama's saying. I was in her dither. She leaned over and she said, she did the best she could. I'm not criticizing her. She said, I think she wants you to kiss the other hand. No. There is a Holy Ghost. And he spoke to me, and I picked up her hand that wasn't paralyzed, and I said, honey, let's pray. And I started to pray. I'm not going to change that. I've said it over and over. I started to pray, and the Holy Ghost filled that room with the glory of God. And before you could say who did it, that paralyzed arm came out from under that sheet and went up over her head, and she was swinging those arms, and her daughter jumped up, and she was bananas. She said, do I need to call the doctor? I said, no, the doctor's here. Do I need to get a nurse? I said, the nurse is here. Amen. And that woman was set free, and you said, what happened to her? She went home and kept house for about 6 years. And she was like Dorcas. I may talk about Dorcas a little bit in a minute. I don't know. Y'all don't have a clock up there, and I don't have one on. Get through. Go ahead and get through. Now, here's what I'm talking about. What is the power? Listen. There is nothing we cannot do if God tells us to do it.
Amen. I believe that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to meet someone one day that was born blind. And God has already shown me what to do. Woo! Brother John's gone. Listen. God can still raise the dead.
Amen.
And I told someone yesterday, I preach all the time, I told someone yesterday, if God can't raise a man that's died, killed in a car wreck, if God can't raise him up, we can forget the resurrection. Hello? But I'm going to tell you what God said in His Word. Matthew 16. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, those Pharisees, they were solid, rock solid. They believed in every miracle in the Old Testament. That didn't call any of them. All of them. But God wasn't doing any miracles now. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And the Sadducees, somebody said they were sad, you see. But they didn't believe in an angel, they didn't believe in a spirit. And they didn't believe in resurrection. Now, boy, that's a dead religion. You know that? Now, but you know what Jesus was saying? I want to prepare you. The church that I build, the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. Oh, you're not true. And I'm going to put you in the binding business and the loosing business. And I saw this, Dr. Gill, I told him about that, you know, he said, I didn't see it. That's a nice way to say, I don't believe it, but I was there, I saw it. And you know what? In a few minutes, Joyce and I left, and we were skipping. I mean, we were not tired. If the elevator had stuck, we'd have run down the stairwell. Amen. That's what God did for us. You know. We'd obeyed God, and we were refreshed. Now, here we are this morning. You know what we need at Calvary Baptist Church? We need some miracles that the wildest, most infidelic person in this county can't deny.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. I went to West Virginia in 1954. Preached in a tent meeting 3 weeks at Webster Springs and 3 weeks at my hometown and 3 weeks in Tigris Valley. In Tigris Valley, God came. But something had happened down the road and everybody was still talking about it. My good friend that was saved after many years went home to be with God, 89 years old. And the lady that lived across the road where we stayed while we was holding the meeting was a member of that church. They call themselves Union Missionists. I wish we didn't do that. No. I guess, you know, we got to have some brand name, you know, I guess. But why couldn't we just be called Christians?
Right.
They were called Christians first at Antioch. You know why? They lived like Him. They acted like Him. They reminded other people of Christ. Amen. But here we are. I better get to the story now. Which one was I fixing to tell you about? You done forgot too, hadn't you? I was going to tell you about another miracle. I got it now. I lived on Bamboo Lane in Jamaica for 4 or 5 years. No, 4 years. I moved. Last year I went to the coast. And I had known this dear lady. She walked like this. With a stick. I don't know. It's a wonder she hadn't died with a neck ache or something. And I had a friend that came over to visit. He and his wife loved God. And he said that day I was preaching, Brother John, why don't you ask those that are sick to come forward? I said, you know, that's before I got up to preach. I said, you know how many are sick? He said, how many? I said, all of them. He said, well, let all of them come. He had the gift of faith.
Yep.
That gift is still with us.
Amen.
The gift of knowledge is still with us. The gift of wisdom. Amen.
Yes.
The gift of healing is still with us.
Right.
And so anyway, I don't know, there's about 20 women with their babies on their hip lined up. The last one to get in line was Grandmother Benjamin. There she was. And she sat down in the fashion. If I'd sit down that way, I used to could. You'd have to get a come along to get me off the floor. Amen. And pray for me. We laid hands on her and prayed for her. I was to take them to Kingston to put them on a plane that afternoon, so we left. Quabba Mountain. 1 week from then, 1 week, I was in a little shop about 6 miles away. It'd take you an hour to drive out of there on a Volkswagen, crossing ditches and holes and all that. And I saw a little lady coming down the aisle. Walking like that. With a hat on. That's a hat. And she came up to me and she said, do you know me? I said, no, Mother, your face is familiar, but I don't know you. She said, are you Brother Miller? I said, no, but he's a good friend of mine. Are you Brother John? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, I'm Grandmother Benjamin that walked with a stick. And she was straight as 6 o'clock. Now, you want to know where that's found in the Bible? Luke 13:13, the 13th chapter, the 13th verse. And Jesus laid his hand on a woman that was bent double like that. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And that's what I'm trying to share with us. Listen, if God is working in us, isn't that what he said he was doing? It is God that worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Listen, the only thing we have to do is the easiest part of it, is obey God, Brother Ike. Obey God. Obey God. Well, I better shut this up. After a while, we're going to have to go home. I'm not the only person that believes this. I brought my little prayer book here. It's on prayer, by the way. E.M. Bounds. Are you ready? That which has been done in a spiritual matter can be done again. And better done, this was Christ's view. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie. Now the Son of Man that he should repent, change his mind. Have he not spoken? And shall he not make it good? And I tell you, listen, the best prospect for healing is someone that has something. Like a woman that had an issue of blood and had spent all her living on the doctors and was none the better. But she had heard. Oh, hallelujah. She had heard. She had met people and they were walking a little different than others. You know, they hadn't been walking long. They had been crippled. And she met people in her eyes were a little brighter than some, you know. But a few weeks before, they had a little coat on it that identified them. They were blind. Blind Bartimaeus. You remember what Brother Barnard said about him, Billy? You got to have 3 points in outline, you know. He said he was blind. He couldn't see out of either of his eyes. He is blind in both eyes, you know. And he couldn't see a lick. But when they said, Jesus is calling for you, he dropped his robe. Now we have a white stick, right? Yeah, Jamaica, they got a white stick. And if that white stick man starts across the street, whether the light's in his favor or not, you better stop. Amen. Let him go. And she got this message from heaven. If you could just touch the hem of his garment, you'd be made whole. And I can't address it like Peter Marshall, but it wasn't easy, brother. There was a multitude around him. But she finally made it, and just an arm length away. And Peter Marshall said she was praying with her whole heart. Lord, don't let me miss it. I'm just so close.
Right.
And she stuck her hand through there and touched it. Yeah. Hallelujah! Something happened inside of her.
Yeah,
nobody had to tell her she was healed. It happened.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus said? Even old Peter and them, they thought, well, this fellow's done going off the end, you know.
Yeah.
Who touched me? And finally one of them got up enough nerve, he said, Lord, you got a multitude around here. Who touched you? How ridiculous can you be? He said, this is different. I felt virtue going out. And the woman saw that she was not healed, and she identified it was me. And he didn't scold her. Woman, be of good cheer. You did the right thing. And you won't need to go to the doctor no more.
Amen.
That is. Now, I'm going to close in a little bit. Maybe. You know what happened? Jairus was standing there and he was in terrible shape. He was a ruler of the synagogue. And you know what had happened? His neighbors had come and said, don't wear the mask anymore. Your daughter's already died. And I'm saying this for a reason, Brother Mike.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, fear not, only believe. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that some of y'all know this too. Fear not, only believe. He took Peter, James, and John. That's the only three he let go in. He got there. And there was a dozen probably of neighbors crying and carrying on. And Jesus said, why do you weep so? The girl is not dead, she sleepeth. They laughed in scorn. They knew she was dead, by the way. And he took Peter, James, I have a reason for saying this. Peter was there. James was there. John was there. And he went in and he never touched her. He walked up to the bed where she was laid out. You know what he said? Maid, arise. She opened her eyes and sat up. And then he told her parents, they were in shock. Don't publish this, you know. But my point is, Peter was there. And when you come to the close of the ninth chapter of Acts, Peter had been on a campaign at Joppa.
Yeah.
And miracles had been wrought. Well, I'm glad you said that, Brother John. He was an apostle. That has nothing to do with nothing. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth, he was not talking to the apostles. He was talking to his children. And he was talking to those that would believe the testimony of the apostles.
Right.
He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater, because I'm going to my Father. I read that to you. That's out of Moody. Moody and them are a sound bunch of people. Now listen. They were there. But Peter's at Joppa, and they sent two men. Dorcas got sick, and she what? Died. Yeah. She was a seamstress. She made clothing. She made dresses. She made aprons. She made things and gave them away. I love that. I had a young man the other day. He's a Gideon. I think he's supposed to be a preacher, but that's between him and God. But he told me why I didn't have much. You know what he said? You give everything away. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to get into that. That's too long a story. But now, get this. Who was there to see what Jesus did to this dead girl? Peter. They sent the Joppa, tell Peter to come. Sent two men, get over here now. We need him now. And he came in, and they were showing him all of these garments, you know. But he wasn't there to have a fashion show. He was on business. And he put them all out. Now, who was there when Jesus raised this girl from the dead? Peter, James, John. Peter was there. Anybody have the slightest idea of what Peter did? I preached at his church and it wasn't a Baptist church. And it didn't go over big. I won't get into that. But the first thing that man full of the Holy Ghost did, he dropped on his knees to find out what God wanted him to do.
Right.
Oh yes, he was there when the man sat at the beautiful gate asking for a little help. He was the one that, with John, said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee." He took him by the hand, and the Holy Ghost came on him, and he was 40 years old. He had been crippled from his mother's womb. He jumped up and kept on a jumping and magnifying God. He knew Peter didn't do it. He knew God did it. Hallelujah!
Yes, he did.
And so, Peter, I preached on this. They were Pentecostal people, dear people. But they have some different ideas than I have. But anyway, he got on his knees and he prayed. You know what he did? He walked over there. Her other name was Tabitha. Dorcas and Tabitha. She had two names. He walked over there where they had her laid out and says, "Arise." Guess what she did? She opened her eyes. What else did she do, Brother Billy? She sat up. And he got her by the hand and helped her get out of the bed and presented her alive. And I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is enthroned in glory, seated on the right hand of God, and he is praying for us daily.
Hey, yes, he is.
That our faith wouldn't fail. You know why? That's how we are kept, through faith, by the power of God. But I want to say to you, listen. Don't give up on people because doctors have.
Right, Brother.
They are a candidate for a miracle.
Amen.
I hope you get that.
Amen. Yes, sir.
They are a candidate for a miracle.
Yes, sir.
Would you let me share one more if I get down and where you know I'm through? All right, I'm not hooked up here. I'd been off on a trip. I don't even know where I'd been. But a little man by the name of Davis sat on the same pew with us at Harvest Time Church. And I missed him. I came back, and I think it was maybe two Sundays past, and I missed him. Robert Ed Davis. You've heard this before. Yeah, you've heard. Okay, you got it again now. And so I asked one of the leaders in church, I said, "Where's Robert?" She said, "I'm glad you asked, Brother John. She's a miracle lady herself, you know, been healed." And she said, "He's in a coma. And they're already preparing for the funeral." I said, "Well, I better get down there then and see him." She said, "You sure better get down if you're going to see him alive. What difference does it make if the family's gathered up? What time you go to the hospital?" No, I have a card. I don't use it. I try to go at 10 in the morning. I try to go at 5 in the evening. I try to respect them. And I've had someone tell on me, Brother Billy said, "This man been sitting here 30 minutes. He could have gone in." And the lady that came opened the door, you know, to go in ICU, said, "Why didn't you come on in?" I said, "Well, you know, I wasn't in that big a hurry." But back to Robert. I went down there at 6:30 in the morning. You got to be kidding. No. I went at the right time. I got there at 6:30, brother. And there was one person there, and it was Edna Davis, his wife. One person. And that church where we used to go had probably 150. Attending. I don't know how many of them knew God, but they were, I'm talking about the ten. And I said, "You hadn't been here all night by yourself." She said, "I have." I said, "Do I need to stay with Robert Ed and you go get something to eat?" She said, "I'm eating out of the canteen." I said, "Do you need some change for the..." "No, I'm all right." I said, "Well, we better pray." And I put my hand on his cheek. I caught her hand. She's on the other side of the body. She did like I did. She put her hand on that man's cheek. He's gone. The undertaker's getting ready to come. Prayed. And prayed for her. Well, of course, he didn't move. He's in a coma. Ain't been in one 24 hours or more. So I talked on a while and I run my mouth a lot. Amen. Thank you. And so I said, what time is it? She said, it's 7:30. I said, I got to go. Come on, let's pray for this, your husband again. Put my hand on the same cheek, took her hand with my left hand like that. She put her hand on his face and I prayed about the same thing. And before you could say it, "Oh!" She said he talked. I thought he hollered. You know. So I looked at him a little bit. And I said, "Well, I'll see you tomorrow." And I left. I had another appointment. I called at 6:30 the next morning to check on him, see when they was going to have the funeral, I reckon, you know. And his son, Charlie Davis, answered it. And I said, "To whom am I speaking?" He said, "I'm Charlie." He said, "Brother John, I know you. You won't believe what Dad is doing." I said, "What's he doing?" "Sitting up on the side of the bed. He's eating breakfast. He knows everybody. The doctor just left and said he doesn't know what went with the stroke, but there's nothing wrong with your daddy, and he's dismissing him. He sent him home."
Amen.
Now, don't look at me and tell me I did that. I'm not buying into that. I'm just as helpless as anybody in the world. But by the grace of God, I've been able, brother. I've been able. When it looked like there was no way. But God saying go, I went. And one verse that some of the English teachers need to put on the blackboard, and they don't call it a blackboard anymore, on the writing board, it says, it'd be an easy one to diagram. God is faithful.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand together. I have no idea how our time is. But this is a question I want to ask you. If you're here, try to hear me now. If you're here and God has been telling you something you need to do for a long time, and you know what it is, I'm not asking you to come down here. You know what I'm going to ask you to do? By the grace of God, you surrender your heart to do it. And there's one brother that was bad to stutter. The only thing he could do without stuttering was sing. He could sing. And he said, "Come hell or high water, I'm going to obey God." That's what I want you to do. Join the army of God. And let's march on. I love that song. We are marching to Zion. We are marching to Zion. Come ye that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Listen, we don't have to go around with a mule face like he's got a hold of some sawbriars or something. We can have a smile on our face. Amen. And we can have the joy of God in our heart if we're doing what God wants us to do. Some of the happiest people I've ever seen had given up everything and gone to the four corners of this earth to represent the Lord. Will you make that commitment while we sing a song. What are we going to sing, brother?
389 in the blue.
The altars are open. They are prayer benches. If you need to come for prayer, you come. Amen. I've said everything I've said this morning because I love you. And I love God. And often when I pray, Brother Thomas, you know what I ask Him? Lord, help me to love you more. This is how much He loved me. We can't deny that, brother. He loved us with everything He had. You come. You need to come. God bless you, brother. Yeah, I love you, brother. Fine. God bless your heart. Amen. Jesus, Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching up to Zion, beautiful city of God. And you refuse to sing, whoever you are, God, a children of the heavenly King, the children of the heavenly King, they sing their joys abroad, they speak their joys abroad. Sing it! Chin to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God.